Driving season is in full swing, and an unexpected car repair can cost hundreds, even thousands to fix, ruining your road trip. That's why I recommend getting extended coverage from CarShield. A new water pump could set you back over $500. Replacing your AC can cost as much as $1,500. With CarShield, the dealership or your favorite mechanic can do the work. CarShield does the rest, getting them paid directly. Save yourself from high repair bills with CarShield. Call 800-CAR-6100, mention code Benson, or visit CarShield.com. Use code Benson to save 10%. CarShield.com, a deductible may apply.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
I would get along with Putin.
I've dealt with Russia.
I think I would have a great relationship with Russia and with Putin.
I would, at the same time, get along very well with Vladimir Putin.
That's Vladimir Putin. Have you ever met the guy?
A tough guy. I met him once. And I got to know him very well. And the biggest thing we have is that we were on 60 Minutes together, and we had fantastic ratings. One of your best rated shows in a long time. So that was good, right? So we were stable mates.
I have nothing to do with Putin. I've never spoken to him. I don't know anything about him other than he will respect me.
And you will. Respect my authority.
Or won't you? Trump. Vladimir Putin sat down today. G20 summit. It was a study in psychology. Best way to describe it right there. Best way to describe it was a study in psychology. Two men who sat down, who sized each other up, who maybe have met, maybe have not met, knew him very well, didn't know him very well. You know what I love about Trump is it's always got to be something, right? Like, did you guys know that when I was on 60 Minutes, it was like one of the biggest 60 Minutes in the history of 60 Minutes. It's always got to be. It's like one of the highest rated shows of all time. He has to throw that there. Always the salesman. Always the salesman. But you had two world leaders. One of them is getting his sea legs still, and he's in an embattled situation. The other one is a person who has a strong hold over his nation, who is, for a lot of the Russian people, bringing back some of that former Soviet pride as far as the strength, but with a different feel to it, but still cracks a little ass when he needs to, and definitely when it comes to the press, and two type A personalities. And nothing was going to get solved here. There wasn't any solving going on. Nothing was going to happen today where they were going to walk out and go, did you guys know everything got solved? Right? We sorted out Syria. He confessed. I told him it was okay, don't do it again. We hugged it out. We had some borscht. It was wonderful. We drank some vodka. Everything's awesome. We danced a little bit. Gave us some of them eggs. You know, he kept just opening the little leg thing and just another little leg under there. It was just amazing. I gave him, a Trump tie. And, you know, nothing was going to get solved. This was photo ops. This was a chance to sit down and flex muscles. When it comes to personality, these two leaders are going to be front and center. Trump's not going anywhere. Whether you like it or not, people, he's not going anywhere. He's here. So he's not going anywhere. Putin's not going anywhere unless he wants to. Unless he wants to take his $300 billion that he stockpiled up of everybody else's money and just go home. But why would you? He's enjoying it. They had a meeting. It was well over 2 hours. People thought it was going to be 30 minutes. You can't do anything in 30 minutes. You can't. First of all, there's a language barrier. Right. So you're gonna have somebody there talking, chatting back and forth. Secondly, this was supposed to be a meeting. And Trump pushed him on the issues, especially when it came to meddling in the election. Pushed him hard. Talked about several other things. Syria was a topic. And they left the meeting. Who won? Who lost? You know what? Trump probably won a little bit of the day. But that doesn't really mean anything. Today was about psychology, though. Two men got to size themselves up. You know, you ever watch boxing? They're cautious the first couple rounds, right? Throw a few blows here and there, a bunch of jabs, just kind of getting your legs underneath you, you know? That's kind of what this was. Right? That's kind of what this was. They looked at each other. They sized each other up. They talked a little bit. They finally got to sit down. They addressed some issues, which I think, you know, it's funny Because depending on, you know, and it's, I've got friends who are like, I knew Trump's a liar, but I'm like, okay, slow your roll. So you're calling Tillerson a liar because Tillerson said Trump came out. He pressed him on the issue. They talked about all the things that took place with the election, with the meddling, the whole nine yards. Putin tried to skirt the issue. And then we say, look, it's not over. It's not done. There's still some hurdles to get over. And this is the big reason why right now, especially with these two men. And they come out and said, Trump forgave us. Well, I don't think that to be true. I call BS on that. I do. Who is Putin? If you don't know who Putin is, this is former U.S. Ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul, talking about how Putin first tries to kind of win you over.
Now, the fake news people, the deep state, he's going to use those phrases. I've heard him use those phrases. They're our enemy. You and I can unite to do big things together.
Unite to do big things. They're our enemy. Let's find common ground. What can we dislike? I don't like fake news either, so I crack it down. There you go. You don't like fake news, so you attack them. We got that. I've got people who come and they're trying to get me. You've got the media who's coming to get you and deep state, the CIA, all of these people. Let's be pals. We can do a lot of great stuff together, right? Laurel and Hardy, this is us right here. Laverne and Shirley, this is us. We're unstoppable. But to really understand who he is, I love psychology. Greatest sales book in the world, have nothing to do with sales. That's motivation. Believability, that I can sell this many in a month, that I can do this much in commissions in a month. That's motivation. Sales books are in the psychology department. Find out how people's emotions are. How do you size somebody up? Nobody's better than that, than probably these two men right now in the political world. And that's what Michael McFaul talks about when it comes to the pooter.
He always comes prepared. He always does his homework. He has an agenda. He is seeking outcomes. And he does his psychological work about his interlocutor as well. Remember, he's a KGB operative. He used to do this for a living.
That's what he is. Used to do this for a living. Not only does he know where the bodies are buried, he has buried the bodies himself. If you need to get an answer out of a particular person, this is the guy you send. He would get it. He would get it. That's who this guy was. He wants to know what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. How can we be friends? How can I use you to my benefit and at the same time not let you use me? What is your kryptonite? Because I'm going to need to know that at some point and some time. Plus, you got to remember, and this is one thing I don't think people understand, is they went after Hillary, not because they didn't think Hillary was going to win, quite the opposite. They went after Hillary because they knew, based on their intel and based on what they were seeing coming out of America and the data, that Hillary was going to be the next president of the United States. And because of that, they wanted to psychologically take her down a notch or two, a peg or two, delegitimize her. In people's eyes, if they thought Trump was going to be the winner and all the data pointed to him coming out in November as the victor, it would have been very similar. They went after her not because they didn't like her, but because they wanted to delegitimize her, to take her down a notch, to expose some of her weaknesses because it strengthens them. That's what they were trying to do. That's a lot of what they were trying to do. That's the psychology of it all. That's part of it on a bigger, massive scale. How do you, I'm telling you, for all the bombs and all the bullets in the world, you now have to realize that information is the biggest weapon of all. Information is key. You can topple a regime now with information. You never have to fire a bullet. You never have to fire a bomb. And people say, well, why don't we do that with North Korea? North Korea is It's a wholly different thing. They understand that North Korea, they believe that he has played golf once in his life and shot like a 22. Not on a hole, but for 18 rounds. Got like 12 holes in one. It's insane. They're brainwashed. But the more that escape, the more they get back, the more that it feels that these people understand, eventually the chinks in the armor will crack. And the more that we can get capitalism there, the more it will weaken. Right now, what information? We know everything we need to know about North Korea and then some. But who are we going to get in the hands of inside of North Korea? Nobody has internet access. Nobody has anything. But elsewhere? You bet you can't. Yes, that's important. That's important. One more cut from U.S. Ambassador, former U.S. Ambassador to Russia, Michael McFaul, talking about the game plan that he likes.
He's going to come in with a game plan. And my suspicion is his game plan is going to be pretty simple. Donald, maybe he won't say Donald, but he'll say President Trump, you and I, we can do great things together if you and I work together because we think the same thing.
We think the same thing because we are the same. And that's what the psychology was of today. In so many ways, they're the exact same person. They may have different ways that they go about doing business, but they're the same in the ultimate drive. They're type A personality who are big and bold, who want to win on every single occasion. It's vitally important that they win. They don't like to be shown up. They don't like to be made fun of. They have thin skins. At times, they can be childish, immature, angry, overreactionary. The difference is one has cracked down tremendously on any of that, and the other one is dealing with the fact that, he's got a world here that he faces each and every day politically that is much different than what Putin faces. But nothing was solved today. It was more about who could get one over on each other and size each other up just like boxers do in the first few rounds of a boxing match. Remember, it is a marathon, not a sprint. Text the program 323-538-2423. I like it when you do. At Chad Benson Show. That is the Twitter, ChadBensonSon. Check out ChadBensonShow.com. Grab the podcast, bottom of the hour. Dr. Chambers is going to come on. Joe Chambers, love the guy. We're going to talk about a new controversial look into the world of cancer treatment. Small study, but is it good? Is it bad? Also, we're going to talk about healthcare in general and how doctors feel about healthcare. And he's got an interesting way to look at it, because unlike other doctors out there, he has worked in Europe, he has worked in Canada, and he has worked in America. So he has an understanding of how things work elsewhere that many other doctors and people don't have an insight to. He'll join us at the bottom of the hour. It's the Chad Benson Show.
It's not that he's particularly intuitive or even psychic. He's just weird this way. It's What's Next with Chad Benson.
You know, a lot of things happen at the G20. One of them is nations get together, groups get together. They talk about trade. Trade's a big issue, right? Trade's a huge... Remember TPP? Oh, my God. It's going to be huge, TPP, this, that, and the... You know, it's a big issue. Climate change, you know, there was remarks made about climate change. There's all that stuff that happens. But a big issue for a lot of people is trade. And Trump smartly stepped away from TPP. Stepped away from it. Thought, first of all, we got a lot of bad trade deals. And we do. We have a lot of bad trade deals. But some of that's, a good portion of that's on us because we're a consumer-based nation. We like to consume goods. But what's next for trade is going to be interesting. The EU today got in bed with Japan in the biggest trade deal that they've had, and it's going to be big for them. We've got good trade deals, I think, on the horizon for us. But I know a lot of people freak out about that. What are they going to do? NAFTA. Oh, my goodness. It's time that we start looking at things. It's as I told somebody today. You know, us stepping away from the climate accord doesn't mean that we don't believe in climate change. Doesn't mean that it meant... This deal isn't good for us. This deal isn't good for us. And too long in our history, especially over the last 50 plus years and then some, we have done what's good for a lot of other people while putting ourselves at times second and third choice. And this president has said, no, we're going to be first choice in a lot of stuff. And I'm good with that. I'm okay with that. Every once in a while, it's okay to say, you know what? I'm treating me right. Nothing wrong with that. What's next for trade is over the next several months, there's going to be some big trade deals, some good trade deals. And the first domino that's going to fall isn't going to be China. I think a lot of people think it's going to be China. I think that President Trump and the people he's got working around him, the business side of the people who understand the business world, are going to start cutting trade deals separately across the board, maybe new ones with Canada, Mexico, things like that. And what that does is it's going to put pressure, too, as well as we go and start doing trade deals with England now that they're leaving Europe and several other nations and over there. Australia, things like that, Japan, and several other Southeast Asian countries. What that's going to do is that's going to put pressure on China. And that's what we want in some ways, because China has held the upper hand in trade over the last decade plus. And it's time for us to start moving and squaring the field, not only for our people here, our workers, right? But also our businesses that want to go elsewhere and export and see the cost and it hurts them. It's time to give them a somewhat fair, levelish field where they can play a little bit as well. And I think that'll be good. Absolutely. Don't always agree with everything this president does, but I will tell you this. I think when it comes to trade, I think he's going to do some stuff that will shock some people in a good way. Which will be crazy, I know. Man, that's nuts, but I think it's going to happen. Text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. People texting in about all kinds of things. A lot of stuff about the opioid. We talked about opioid addiction last hour and how it's hurting the workforce. And some people saying, I don't know anybody who's had a problem. Here's the thing about opioid addiction is, unlike other drugs, you won't know somebody has it till they hit the bottom. You won't understand that they have it. It's not as visible as somebody's on coke, crack, or meth, or something like that. It's not that. By the time you realize, it's already happened. And that's just it. And the numbers aren't fake. In fact, I think the numbers are probably down a little bit more because I don't think they do as great a job. A lot of it is a guesstimation. And I know we sometimes underestimate and overestimate, but I think the $80 billion number that we spend to fight this disease, not disease, but this drug, is ridiculous. Somebody's going to say it's not a disease. You know what? That's a different discussion at a different time, and I will take that up. I promise you that. I do. My man, Dr. Joe Chambers, joins us next. Some interesting stuff coming out of Britain. We're going to talk about that, and we're going to talk about all of the things that's going on in the world of health when it comes to this bill that's out there. It's the Chad Benson Show.
Chad Benson Show.
Independent in thought and punk rock in life. It's the Chad Benson Show.
We like to cover things here that are real, that actually touch on lives. Cancer is one of those things, as well as healthcare. Joining me now is Dr. Joe Chambers. You can check him out at Dr. Chambers on Call. Dr. Joe, how you doing?
I'm good, Chad. How are you?
I'm doing great. You know, the first thing I want to touch on is, and we've talked about this before, the way that we're looking at cancer studies and the way that people are treating them. And there's a small sample, but something coming out of Great Britain about chemotherapy, they say, may spread cancer and trigger more aggressive tumors. And, you know, it's again, these are all small studies, but, you know, everybody's trying to find a new way to do something to make it better and easier for people to deal with cancer, the side effects, and the fight itself.
Sure. Well, there's a few things that everyone should understand. First off, our understanding of cancer is way better now than it was 20 years ago. We understand its origins. We understand that it has a genetic component. We understand the risk factors. To give you an example, treatment of breast cancer when I was in medical school was 2 years of chemotherapy with lots of side effects. Nowadays, it's 16 weeks of therapy with a lot less side effects. We also understand that when I was in medical school, or a little bit earlier than that, we thought of cancer as coming from a single organ. So if you had a lung tumor, it was specific to that area, you cut it out and hopefully you would cure it. We now understand that the cancer has different origins and may be spread throughout the body that you can't see. Though with our scanning and stuff like that, we're more sophisticated. The study that you're referring to, I think, is an alarmist study. It's a small group. There's always people probing and checking orthodoxy. That's one of the good things about conventional medicine. That's one of the better things about conventional medicine, is that we don't accept things, that we're always challenging. We're always saying to ourselves, is this working? Is this not working? This brings us in direct contrast to natural treatments or herbs or homeopathy, who make claims and don't check them. So the study you're talking about implied that they got chemotherapy before the surgery, that it might actually open up so-called portals. I think the evidence for that is minimal. It's not a concern in mainstream. I assume that this study will be followed on by other people and checked. But I would assure women with breast cancer or anybody with cancer that the current regimes are the best that we've ever had. The current regimes are actually curing more people than ever before. But there are things that you can do as an individual to decrease your risk of cancer. For instance, the number one cancer killer in both men and women is lung cancer. And by far the biggest risk factor is, everybody knows, cigarette smoking. So whether you're a smoker, you should quit. If you've never smoked, don't start. Don't start smoking. If you're overweight, big risk factor for things like breast cancer, alcohol consumption, exercise, all the things, Chad, you and I have talked about in many other areas. So what you want to do really is not get the cancer. That's the first thing. So look at the risk factors. And remember, biggest killer is lung cancer in women and men, not breast cancer. It's lung cancer. Think of what advertising has done. In the old days, to make women equal to men, the advertisements were Virginia Slims, you've come a long way, baby. Yes, all the way to the top of the lung cancer death charts. So we got to think of things like that. And what scares me about these studies that come out, I think that was in the British Telegraph, was that they take these obscure things from a science journal and put it out there, and it scares everybody. So if you have any concerns, if you're unfortunate enough to have cancer or someone you love has cancer, and you see the study or you hear something on the radio or in Dr. Oz or on TV or whatever, you should go to your individual provider, go to your doctor, your cancer specialist, and say, hey, guess what? I heard this on the radio, saw it on TV, read it in the magazine. Does this mean that you're actually killing me? Well, no. I mean, we're not going to give things to you that are going to make you worse. But this is just one of the checks and balances that's always ongoing in modern medicine. And that's a good thing. I assure you, that is a good thing.
Talking to Dr. Joe Chambers here, Dr. Chambers on Call. You can check him out, drchambersoncall.com. You know, a few of the things that are happening out there with the healthcare bill and all the stuff that's going on. You deal with the patients all the time, doctor. I mean, here you are. You're actually in the front line of it all. When you see it break down in Washington, the frustration that physicians feel, because obviously you'd love to have more time. And do you guys feel like that, you know what, we're kind of always being left out of the discussion? And when I always hear them talk in Washington, I never hear them talk about a better and more direct line and relationship between the caregiver and the care provider, and the patient. And I never hear that. All I hear about is what's it going to cost and who's it going to pay for it and who's going to have a card. I never hear any of that other stuff.
Yes, and that's a big frustration, I think, for most of us in the trenches. And it's also fearful. Let me just give you an example. If I have somebody who's on, say, the so-called Obamacare, who got insurance through the Affordable Care Act, and they're scared of losing it, they may stop coming to see me because they lose their insurance, and then their disease is going to get worse. So you're trying to reassure them to keep up with the medicine, and they say, well, what's going to happen to me in 6 months? Will I have insurance? And I can't tell them that you will or you won't. If you think back to what the Affordable Care Act did, the Affordable Care Act, or so-called Obamacare, was meant to give people who bought insurance a certain set of rights. For instance, if you had a pre-existing condition, you were guaranteed that they would take you on. If you got sick twice in a year, the insurance company couldn't say, ha, you spent too much money, you're on your own for the rest of the year. If you were sick twice in a decade, they couldn't say you hit your lifetime limit. So those were the good things they brought in for people who had health insurance. And then what they decided to do was look at all the people who didn't have health insurance. and give them health insurance. And he did this in two ways, the so-called marketplaces. So if you didn't have employer health insurance, what they said to you was you went to this marketplace and you bought individual private health care insurance. And if you couldn't afford it, we will give you a subsidy. The federal government, by taxpayers, will give you a subsidy. And that covered about 10 million people, and 80% of them were subsidized by the federal government. And then the President Obama opened up Medicaid, which is for the poor and the disabled and the elderly, and brought an awful lot of those people on. So in the end, about 25, 30 more million people who had no insurance in the United States were brought into the pool and given some health care insurance. Now, what people get angry about sometimes is they say, why am I subsidizing this poor person? Why am I giving them health care? This is crazy. But pretty much all of us, Chad, get a subsidy for our health care. I've been on employer-based health care forever. And my employer-based health care is subsidized by the federal government by 30%. In other words, my employer, or indeed I do, get a 30% tax benefit. So if I spend $100 on health care, I'm actually only really spending $70 out of my pocket, and I'm getting a tax break of $30. So in effect, we're all getting some kind of subsidy. Because you know why? Healthcare is expensive, no matter what way you slice it. But the thing that frustrates me, and regular listeners to my show or my website, drchambersoncall.com, know that I've practiced medicine in Europe, in Canada, and here. And what I always tell people is, if you have a heart attack in Europe or Toronto or Los Angeles, you're always afraid, of course, that you may not make it through, that you could die in a heart attack, a very human reaction to it. But we Americans have one more thing to worry about. If we live through it, will the treatment bankrupt us? If we don't live through it and the worst things happen, will that treatment bankrupt my family? The Europeans don't worry about that. The Canadians don't worry about that. So why is it that we Americans are so special? As a capitalist, if I spend $100, I like to get $130 worth of value. But I don't. When I spend $100 in healthcare as a consumer, I get $70 worth of value. The Canadian spends $70, he gets $100 worth of value. The Europeans get $120. So what are we doing wrong? And I think that's where the controversy is happening in Washington. We're all talking past one another. We're talking about ideology. We're talking about, and what we should really be talking about is, we have people in America who need healthcare coverage, who when they get sick, need healthcare coverage. How do we give that to them and do it in a reasonable way and have good outcomes? Remember, in the United States, we spend more on healthcare than any nation on earth. And unfortunately, our results aren't as good as the Europeans, the Japanese, or the Canadians. So you have to wonder, Chad, what's going wrong? What are we doing wrong?
Well, you know, I hear that. And I lived in Europe, for almost a decade. I played soccer and stuff over there. And I've always said, look, it was great that I didn't have to pay for some, although my taxes were a bit through the roof. I'm sitting there going, wow, that's a lot of money to be taken out. And that's one of the things. The other thing is, you know, when I got really sick over there, I couldn't get into to see my doctor. They told me it was forever. I had to fly home. And that's the frustration because I see some of the wait times and a lot of stuff like knee replacement, hip replacement, things like that. You know, you wait a very long time. You may not pay for it in money, but you pay for it in pain sometimes.
Well, you see, most of those countries have a two-tier system. One is their kind of their national provider system, and the other is a private system. So, like, for instance, in London, England, if you have private insurance in addition to the national health insurance, you can go get your knee replacement, your heart angiogram, whatever, much, much quicker, within a couple of days or a week. They will do that for you. And nobody is suggesting in the United States, nobody with any kind of brains would suggest that we can give everything to everybody all the time. Not possible, not going to happen, never will happen. But what we can do is give people the basic health care. And then I always think of it like in terms of a car. We give everybody an IKEA, a basic car. And then if you want to drive a Mercedes, you want to drive a Maserati, you pay extra. I don't have a problem with that. But we got to think of it in a practical sense, Chuck. Half of the babies in the United States, and this is a staggering statistic to me, half of the babies in America are born with Medicaid. That's the medical treatment that they have, Medicaid. So if we withdraw that from them, what's going to happen? More women will die in childbirth. More babies will be born really sick. And when they're born really sick, we're not going to abandon them, Chad, are we? What American is going to let a baby die? We're not going to do it. So we're going to put them into a NICU, a neonatal ICU, which costs tens of thousands of dollars per day. When all we have to do is spend $5 a day to keep the mom healthy, and the baby would have been healthy. So from a capitalist point of view, it makes sense for us to give these women Medicaid. It makes sense for us to give them prenatal care. It makes sense for us to look after them before the babies come out so the baby doesn't come out sick. So these are the practical things. You know, I hear Senator Rand Paul recently talking about, you know, if we take all this away, we should just get rid of Obamacare, even if we can't put something in its place, because everyone in America can go to the emergency room. Well, you know, he is a doctor. He's an ophthalmologist. But I wonder, when was the last time he was really in an emergency room as a doctor? Because emergency room's job is to stabilize you, not to get you better, just to stabilize you. So, for instance, if I'm a diabetic without health insurance, and my sugar is 650, which is awfully high, and I'm sick as a dog, I've got an infection, they will go in, they'll lower my sugar, they'll give me fluid, they'll correct all the things they're supposed to do, and then they send me home. So 2 days later, guess what? My sugar is still high. It goes back up, I get sicker, and I'm on this tread where I'm getting sicker and sicker. I get all of the complications, early heart attacks, early eye problems, kidney problems. And that doesn't make sense to me. So we're much better off if we take that patient, put them on Medicaid, give a primary care physician $20, and that's all they're giving us to look after people like that, and let them look after us so to prevent them going to the emergency room, which we all call in the trade expensive care. It's good care, but not necessarily the best care all the time. And for chronic problems, not a good idea at all.
Oh, man, sense? I love having you on. I could listen to you talk for hours. Dr. Joe Chambers right there. Dr. Chambers on call.com. Check it out. Go listen to his podcast, All Nine Yards. As always, it's great to have you on. There's so many things to talk about. This debate goes on and will always go on when it comes to healthcare until eventually we get it right, which I think we will. I appreciate you coming on today. You have yourself a great weekend, Dr. Joe.
You too, Chad. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Man, we talk about healthcare forever and a day. It is just, it's frustrating. And there's just, you know, how do you bring down care? What do you do? What can we do? I've got my suggestions and I put them out there and we'll break it down from top to bottom again and again, but it's not us that we can come up with all the great ideas, but it's those men and women in DC that seem to be pulling the strings when it comes to healthcare. Chad Benson Show.
You call it ridiculous. We call it reality with a twist. Say what?
I always love how people say, you know, we got to pay more taxes. People got to pay more taxes. People got to pay more taxes. You got to do it. You got to do it. You know, here in America, you can pay more taxes if you want to. There's a little, you know, place for it. You just want to, whatever you want to pay, go ahead. That's when I hear the limousine liberals out there who bitch, whine, and moan and say, we got to pay more taxes. We got to pay more taxes. I'm all for paying more taxes. I'm all for paying more taxes. Do you ever volunteer any of yours? No, because a lot of people, it's about lip service, not about actually doing. Say, what? No way, Chad. Yeah, actions speak louder than words. Case in point, Norway. Norway has been slashing taxes, going on a little bit of a spending spree. They've got some oil money there. They've got a center-right government that is cutting taxes and spending some money. And so they said, fine, left, if you want to, we'll do what you guys want. How about this? We'll put a voluntary line on the tax form. And if people want to voluntarily pay taxes, they can. Right? 5.3 million people. You figure at least 3 million people, probably of working age, of which at least 2.5 million or so are probably working and contributing to society, already one of the heaviest taxed societies on planet Earth. But you need to be when you have womb-to-tomb services. So how much money do you think Norway raised? 20 million? 30 million? $1,325. $1,325. It's funny. It is. It's funny when people talk about, hey, we should all do more, and then you find out that they don't do more. It's all a game. It's all, it's great when it's somebody else's money. It's easy when it's somebody else's money. It's so easy. I love that. $1,325. How much did you get? $1,325. No way. Yeah. In a row. Like from everybody. Like the whole country. Oh, that's not good. I don't know what they're going to do with it. Pay down their deficit. That isn't going to help a lot of people. It's not. I'm just saying. Mike Pence went to NASA, and the meme going around is hilarious. He's touching something that clearly says, whatever you do, do not touch. And he's got his hand all over it. That is such a Mike Pence thing to do. Now, in fairness, the NASA people told him to feel it. But it's the optics of it all, right? The optics of it all. And you're in meme folklore forever. That is meme-orific right there. It's fantastic. You can text the program 323-538-2423, 323-538-2423. If you missed Dr. Joe Chambers, who was just on, we talked about cancer. We talked a lot about health care, the bill, the whole nine yards. You can grab the podcast, iTunes. You can go there. You can go to ChadBensonShow.com and download from there. Tune in radio app everywhere. The great podcasts are available. And a lot of people are texting in about the things he said about the two-tier system. How, you know, why is it better in Europe? That's not true. And look, there's a lot of things. There's always good and there's always bad. And we've had Dr. Joe on before, and we've talked about it, tons of time before about the fact that, if you're really sick, you want to be in the United States. If you're kind of just not feeling well, you want to be elsewhere. It's crazy. It's true. Check it out, the podcast, if you missed Dr. Joe Chambers' riveting, enjoyable interview. 323-538-2423. Chad@ChadBensonShow.com is the email. It is the Friday edition of the one and only. I know, thank God, right? Chad Benson Show.
This is the Chad Benson Show.